Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as a used book guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Reseller's Mindset Podcast. Mike sitting next to Johnny. Today's topic is a fun one. It's super important because we are all serial entrepreneurs, I think, the majority of resellers. And it's this idea of the shiny new object syndrome and why not just double down on what we got, right? So we have something that works. We're reselling. We're getting results. And instead of doubling down on what works, maybe we see a video or we see something on social media of this other business idea where you can potentially make more money. This happens multiple times every, it's like the seasons, Johnny. There's a new business model every season when it comes to reselling. There's been so many, there's going to be so many more this year. I think it's always going to be going on because there's always new ideas that are kind of taken off. But just because you see results of one or two people or even a handful of people doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be able to get results doing that. So instead of doubling down on what's working, you kind of divert money from a business that's making you money into a business that's never going to make you money. What do you think is the psychology behind resellers in general, just always wanting to completely change their whole business model?
Greed, plain and simple. I mean, you kind of said it. You want to make more money. They're claiming that they're making a whole lot more money versus anything else. And you're in the category of doing the anything else, and you're making money, but they're telling you, and you believe in what they're telling you, and you go off and try this, and 9.9 to infinity times, they're wrong, or what they're saying works for them and absolutely does not work for you. But we try these things way too much. Because we all want more money. Don't get me wrong. I want more money. You want more money. The girl next door wants more money. That's a great thing to aspire to. But if you got a good thing going, don't rock the boat. Don't. Continue what you got going. Now, if you want to do some experimental things, that's extra credit. That's at the end of your day with what you've got working. And maybe, and I said this on a previous podcast, maybe you give up an hour of sleep, either on the front end or the back end. Either you're waking up early or you're going to bed an hour later to try these experimental things to get concrete, irrefutable evidence that, hey, what they're saying really is working. Instead of making a fundamental scrap everything I've done and let's go gung-ho on this one thing that somebody said over here that may or may not work for you.
I think I answered this podcast episode. This will be like a 3-minute episode. It's because when we get things figured out, it becomes repetitive and boring. And a lot of human nature is we need some type of excitement. We need some kind of craziness going on in our lives. And I'm almost the opposite. I'm in the same thrift stores, dude. I've been going to the same thrift stores for years, Johnny. Like, where is the fun and excitement? Like, I probably could be blindfolded and just run my route at this point, like even driving, because it's the same roads, it's the same stores, it's the same parking lot. Maybe I should ask to have like a dedicated parking spot at these stores.
Or like Hollywood Squares, they give you your own tile with your little thrifter icon in one of those tiles when you walk in.
It's not exciting, and it pays the bills, man. That's what excites me. The excitement isn't going to the thrift store and scanning the stuff. It's the excitement is getting out there, getting my job done, and then getting paid tenfold for what I spent. That's where the excitement comes to me. But I know a lot of people, they struggle with this idea of, well, I gotta list 10 items again on eBay today, and the next day comes, I gotta list 10 more items. It becomes monotonous and lame duck boring. But I'm telling you, like, I think there's a lot of quotes out there about like how the most like boring jobs and businesses make the most amount of money.
Right. I know Tech and Sports over in his group, he mentions this all the time. My day is very boring. You know what? But boring is very profitable. He does say this. He's made that quote you just made there. Don't know who the originator is, probably Carnegie or something. Who knows? Who cares? But yeah, I think you're right. We do get bored, or like for me, it's like I always want to push the envelope. Like I want to walk up to the line and punch it in the face to see if I cannot break or cross the line. But how close can I get to flirting with danger? I like that. That excites me versus me just believing some hocus pocus person on the internet. I like to break my own systems and routines. Because I just have to be right once in that. That's my logic, and I shouldn't ever do that, but I do. I'm like, I just have to be right once and I win. But you know what? A lot of the times when I do that, I'm wrong. That's just the case, right? But I'm playing the roulette wheel. There's one number I'm betting on and hoping it's me, but that wheel's fixed and it never lands on my number.
Yeah, it's so true too, right? Because we've tried crazy things in our businesses over the past few years, and at the end of it, when it doesn't work, I always have this, this devil creeps up on my shoulder, says, "Mike, if you just would have did more of the stuff you knew that works instead of wasting your time with this stupid side project, like you would be so much further ahead." And it happens every single time, but you still go back, right? You're still like, what can I cook up this year that's going to
Yep.
completely be out of the ordinary, suck up way too much of my time instead of
How
just
can I be
doubling?
the smarter person that ever existed doing this one thing because I was so clever and thought of it all by myself?
Yeah,
You know what? Never
it's
works.
tough, dude. It is tough to balance it, and it is boring. I mean, it's still, I guess boring is like, it depends what your definition of boring is. Like I said, if going out and going in thrift stores is exciting to you. And most people, it is in the beginning. I think after you do it for a few years, you're kind of just there for a business transaction. It's not like I'm like all giggly going into every thrift store. I'm just like, fingers crossed they got something for me to buy. It is tough to balance it, but I do want people to focus on what's working because we get a little taste of success. We get a little bit of money, and all of a sudden we just want to completely abandon what got us that money, got us that success, and try something that's just completely out of whack. When I'm here to tell you, lock out everything and just say, all right, well, this worked at this scale. How can I double this? How can I 5x this, 10x this? Then all of a sudden, you have a nice business and nothing else ever. You never wasted time trying some of the stupid stuff that we, for some reason, think is a great idea.
I'm glad you brought that up because I think with people that or have been established for a minute, they're not getting those 5x, those 10x jumps anymore because it's more of a stable incline growth and it's much slower now. So they're looking for a new swing to hit it out of the park again. And they get off track and they, like, I think even you mentioned that if they would have just stayed on course, they would have made more money through the course of the year. But they miss that feeling. They miss that.
What's up, Amazon sellers? We wanted to take a second to talk about GoToLister, the software me and Johnny both use to list and manage our inventory and grow our businesses. With the fastest listing speeds out there and built-in profit analytics, it's a no-brainer. Easily and quickly have items available for sale using 2D barcodes and get more for your items with its built-in smart pricing. Make sure to check out the 30-day free trial at GoToLister.com/Mike or using the link in the description below.
Grand success. We're gonna call it grand. You're on the come up, right? You're making $2,000 to $3,000 compounding on the previous month after month after month. It's a great feeling. And all of a sudden, it's not compounding to those extremes anymore. And it's like, I'm making a lot of money, but it's not like it used to be. Those were good times, and I worked really hard now. Now I'm kind of laying in my bed, rolling in my money, and it's just not the same anymore, Mike. Why isn't it the same?
It's so true, right? It's like in the beginning, you see these crazy, because you see the numbers everywhere, right? Like my 90-day total on eBay is up this much, or like my Amazon month over month is up this much. And as you grow, it's harder to continue to be up 100%, 1,000% month over month, month over month. But I think if you realize that, okay, this business is making money, it's reaching my financial goals. That's a big thing, right? Like, how much money do you need from the business? Once you can get close to achieving that or achieving that, that doesn't mean you have to get all crazy with it. Just keep focusing on what's working. That's the only reason I exist, is because I've done the same business for basically 6 full years now, and things I've learned so much along the way. Instead of doing a different business every 6 months or a year, I would still basically be brand new in whatever business I would be in this year versus doing the same thing for 6 years has allowed me to grow and understand how business actually works. But it's not exciting and it's not fun, Johnny. Like I wish I could tell people that going out and scanning thousands and thousands of items is like, it's so exciting. Sure, it's cool when your phone lights up green or you get the cha-ching sound, but even that kind of gets old after a while. You're just like, yay, more money, more money. But the money for most of us is the motivating factor. I don't know anybody that does this just to kind of lose money or just to go out there and scan things. So the money for me, I would say I'm like Mr. Krabs. The money excites me. That's the exciting part of my business. It's just everything else is what I got to do to get the excitement, the money coming into the bank account.
Right. And what's really humbling is in these groups, there's multiple groups out there. This is one of many. And we hear somebody and they're having those feelings we used to have. They're talking about it. You can tell they're excited. We're all thinking this. We've been in here a minute. I used to be like that. They seem happy. Why aren't I happy? I'm more successful. I'm making more money than they are, but I want what they have right now. It's like a weird, lack of a better, a high, I guess. We want that high back. We do because we remember how that felt. It felt so good. It was a blissful thing. And you're working harder than you've ever worked before because you're just seeing the fruits of the labor. And it's a lot of fruit coming down all of a sudden. And then it's the same. It's sad. We're sad. Why are we so sad? I don't get it, but it's true.
I mean, I'm almost, I kind of fell into that boat the last like 4 or 5 months of 2024, where like, all right, these are my numbers, right? Unless I start doing something differently, like this is, I have to accept the fact I'm going to be the person that gets this amount in sales every single month in this business. So you either got to make a change and figure out what you can do to increase your income. But when it comes to changing, I'm not talking about as much as I want to go buy a bunch of hot dog stands and set them up all over town and sell hot dogs for $1 a piece, I'm not doing that, right? It's going to be something within my business that I already have the knowledge about, already have the success with that I'm going to grow upon. But in the reselling world, I mean, just think of all the different platforms, right? Like there'll probably be a new platform this year. There'll probably be some other crazy trend that'll kind of take off and everybody's going to go jump on the bandwagon for a few months and then fall off. And the people that stay with these platforms are the ones that see success. Do we not realize that as resellers? Like everybody runs to these platforms, and the ones that wind up winning are the ones that say, okay, I'm going to stick with this platform and I'm going to make it work. Instead of the people that just try to come for a month and try to see if they can strike lightning in a bottle. It never happens. Maybe it happens one out of every however many, but it never happens. And then you go away. And it's just like you just wasted all this time when you could have just been building upon what you already had over on this platform where you're established, where you've been for years and years.
Right. And I think what we mean by add on is like we all start in books, right? And then we do just media. And then after that, we do video games. Now, I know video games are just media for you people in the comments, but we're going to treat it as its own little separate entity over there because it has consoles too and weird things. And then reflecting back, if we look at the OGs of booksellers, how many of them are still slinging books? Then they've gone on to other things. And this goes back to that boring factor. They've been doing it longer than both Mike and I. I can't even imagine how jaded those ladies and gentlemen are. And they're doing things. Like I see some of them doing software now and courses and running groups. That's their transition thing. They found they can make more money doing that because they put the time and effort in. But if they would have just stayed in books, I truly wonder what their empires would have looked like. But we all get this way. Mike gets this way. I get this way. For some stupid reason, we're unsatisfied with what we're doing because we plateau and either we make a fundamental change or shift, or we do more of the same. And those are the options, honestly. And it's very hard to do more of the same. It really is.
I think less is more in a manner of if you think about how many different businesses you're trying to juggle at once. And us being entrepreneurs, there's all kinds of crazy, but I'm first of all, like if I load up YouTube right now, dude, there's all kinds of crazy businesses, right? Like I just that's my jam, right? That's my guilty pleasure of I can't start a hot dog stand, but I got no problem watching some dude out here that's, here's my hot dog, here's how I made 100K selling hot dogs, right? Like That kind of is like my guilty pleasure when it comes to like YouTube entrepreneurship is all these crazy businesses. I like live vicariously through other business models on YouTube, I guess, right? But that's better than me going and buying the stand myself and giving it a shot because I know, sure, can we be successful? If we build a successful reselling business, I like to say we can translate some of the lessons and qualities we have developed into other businesses, right? Like if I wanted to shut down books completely, go hot dogs 100%, I feel like I could be successful. But you can't do that. You just got to focus on what is making you the money. And for me, it's the crusty old media, and it's not fun, it's not exciting. But you can, as you get better within the business, the used hot dog guy, I mean, the price is right, I'll buy them in bulk. I think it's one of those things where we have to realize this is our business. Is this what we want to do? It's boring, but that doesn't mean we hate it, right? I'm not saying I hate going out to the thrift store. It's just not exciting, right? Like I'll throw a podcast on while I'm driving, and that's about as exciting as I get. Sure, it's cool when I fill up a bag and take a photo, send it out to people, but I mean, that's who I chose to be. This is the business I chose to be in. If I'm not happy with it, then sure, go do something else. But this idea that we get success and we're so quick to run away from it, I don't understand it. Like, it's working. Is it working for you? Sure. Okay. Well, why all of a sudden do you want to go to something else? And it's usually, well, I'm kind of tired of scanning all the stuff, and at least in our business space and eBay, it's usually I'm tired of taking photos. I'm tired of listing in Amazon. And I'm tired of scanning all the items. I'm tired of packing all the boxes. It's, I don't know. I think some people are just unfortunately programmed in a way where they're never going to be able to stick with something for a while. And it's just a hindrance to yourself by not giving something a real chance. And if something's working, seeing how far you can take it. And by that necessarily doesn't mean pouring more and more time into it. Like I'm the first one to tell you all, pump the brakes, let's get time back. So if you're at that point where maybe you're feeling, burnt out, but you're getting results, then start thinking about ways you can get some free time back so you can go read a book or go for a walk whenever you want. It's tough for me, man, because I see both sides of the coin here, and especially being an entrepreneur, and I see all these crazy business models out there, and they excite me, and it seems so great, right? Like, so it's just passive income, go rent a house and go mow lawns or do this, do that. It's just all there for the taking. And our human nature is like, we're attracted to shiny new things. It's just how we are.
Right. Like we've talked about this. Like, what do we plan to do post reselling when we're in our 80s or whatever? For me right now, I mean, I like the books. Mike likes the money from the books. But so I'm going to take it a step further. I'm going to open another bookstore here and go all in with books, essentially. Mike, he may decide, you know what, I'm done with the books one day, and he'll have to change his whole YouTube channel, the used whatever guy. But no, it's just, I think, and I've talked about doing things beyond reselling as far as businesses go, because I love business, probably even more so than books, but I really like books. So I don't really know what to say here. I think you're going to change, everybody's going to change what they do in their business, or they're going to pour more fuel on the fire. And I think it's not more like my case. I'm not replacing things, I'm adding things into my current existing business, like even disc media and video games. I don't love them like I like the books, but I'll do them because it complements my business, very much so. And usually the stuff's in the same place. Or, you know what? I don't feel like going out and sourcing at places anymore. How do I make the inventory come to me? Or, you know what? I'm tired of running solo, doing all this grunt work myself. Let me bring in an employee. That spices things up. That changes things up and adds new complexities, both positive and negative, to your business. So that changes it up too. And then, you know what? Let's add a second employee. You know what? Let's add a warehouse. Let me get all the stuff I've had at home over here. So I think the growing stages of your business keeps the mental side of you, the owner, healthy. Like, how do I grow the business? Whether it's a warehouse, employees, how do I make inventory come to myself? Maybe I jump up from the JFJ to a master, and now I'm really cooking with gas because I can clean 50 at a time instead of one at a time. So I need to crank up my volume. There's these things we can do that are healthy growth things for our business. Now, a precarious thing that most resellers fall into. They pull the trigger a little too early. They want to make these big jumps earlier on. Like I don't know, they're having some moderate success. They bring in an employee, and now they're essentially working for their employee because all their money is going toward their employee while we're waiting for the capital to catch up to justify the new labor we just brought in. So even though it's boring, sometimes we need to sit down and get through the boring in order to do those healthy growth things.
It's like the idea. I'll give an example of it. And in the media space, a lot of huge, media sellers have warehouses and they have conveyor belts that scan everything. So they literally, you just, I don't know, pull up a beach chair, crack open a beer, and it's just an endless flow of barcoded up books, CDs, DVDs that get scanned by a conveyor belt. Like it is, you could sit there endlessly and the inventory just keeps scanning itself. And scanning, it goes directly into the bin that it's supposed to go into. It is like the most boring thing you can think of. But then you look at the back end and you're like, look at the amount of money these people are actually making. And there are plenty of exciting, reselling opportunities. Look at live selling, like how far live selling has come in the past year and a half, 2 years. Like, sure, QVC, HSN used to exist, and now you can go on Whatnot, eBay Live, and even Poshmark Live. Like, you can. If you want to be fun and exciting, you got a personality, right? You can start a YouTube channel. There's so many outlets to, if you're that person that feels like, well, this is kind of lame, well, then start recording yourself. Start a YouTube channel that doesn't take a lot of time. Start selling live, right? There's so many outlets instead of just trying to change your whole business, because we think changing your whole business, that's only going to excite you for the next 3 to 6 months. And then guess what? You're going to want something else, right? The hot dog stand no longer cuts it. Now I want the food truck, right? And then I want the restaurant. There's always going to be something else you're chasing, I think, in this mentality of, all right, this is boring. I want to do something different.
Right. And I don't know. It's like if you're a person at the top, like a, I don't know, a star attraction in Vegas or something, like they're at the top of their game, top of the field. They don't even go on tour anymore. The Vegas pays them X $1 million a year just to stay in Vegas and do the same nightly show, same routine day after day because they're under contract. And a lot of those people burn out too. So I think it's even beyond reselling. I think we as human beings, the monotony, it grates at us so much, and we can't wait to escape from monotony because even our boring job, if you worked one before reselling, you leave that boring job to do something you consider less boring. But even then, it may transition to, well, now this is boring. What do I do now? I don't like being bored. I'm miserable when I'm bored. Most humans are. So, how do you keep it fresh? How do you keep it exciting? How do you keep growing your business? Without falling into the abyss of despair, essentially.
Yeah, well, that's why you have social media. That's why there are these reselling groups out there where you can go get around people, and you see somebody get in a huge crazy haul, and you're like, gives you a little bit of glimmer of hope when you're down and about. I'm like, hey, look at this person. They just got a tractor trailer full of XYZ, right? Like, you're like, all right, yay, look, there's still people out there hustling, having a great time, rolling in all the duds. I'm A-okay with it. So it does kind of. If you're by yourself in this and you're not willing to get around like-minded people or in a community, I just don't see a path forward. Sooner or later, like Johnny said, you're going to go insane, right? Like you're the person that just sits in silence, lists your 10 items a day on eBay, lists your box a week on Amazon, and you have nothing else, like no other social interaction. It's the idea too of like when you get older, they say stay active, right? Like most people that retire, they go volunteer because you got to keep your mind and body actively, like, I don't know, like busy, like you got to have things going on. And we have so much information around us. We have so much content around us that we should never really fall into that idea of, well, this is boring. Because like I said, I watch all these different crazy businesses and it kind of like, it excites me, but I know at the end of the day, I'm going to go out. I'm going to do what I got to do to pay my bills and secure the money I need to secure. And that's enough for me. I don't need anything else besides the money I need to make for my business. So, yes, it's not exciting scanning there, sitting there, scanning there, and looking at my phone and being in thrift stores. But the exciting part to me is I have this opportunity to build my own schedule and make the however much money I want to make, I know I can make in this business. So, it's just a matter of what do I want to do to get there? How many hours do I want to spend? How much money do I need to make? And that's it can be as boring as it wants. If the money's coming in, Johnny, you know me, I could care less about books. I know nothing about books. It's all about just getting the work done, scanning as many items. You don't got to know it. The beautiful thing to this business is you don't got to know a damn thing. I still don't know much after 6 years. You are literally just a smart little chimpanzee like myself in the store, scanning as many items for those watching on YouTube. My little ring scanner, like a Power Ranger. That's all there is to this. It's crazy to me that this exists where you can have a beautiful business where you know absolutely nothing about the stuff you're buying to sell. You're just looking, I just analyze data on my phone and make a decision whether or not I'm going to buy this to resell it. I know nothing about it. Sure, I come across items that, you know, that I'm familiar with, but most of the time, I don't know who this author is. I don't know who this DVD stars. I don't know anything about these CDs, but it sells. It's magical. That's why I keep doing it.
So what do you do with the stuff you can't scan, but you do you have feeling like an old book? Like you could tell it's old and it's not the cheap, crappy old. It's legitimately like, I don't know, 1800s book.
I
You
leave it behind. I don't even mess around with it no more.
do you feed the eBay people? Got it.
Old Mike used to. New Mike, as of the second half of 2024 onwards into this year, it's just not. It's not my business model, right? We talk about kind of. Do I leave money behind? 100%. I'm not going to sit here and argue that I probably don't leave profitable antique books behind. But the idea to me is, well, I'm not wasting time looking this up. I'm going to scan more barcode items because that's where I'm going to get the most bang for my buck. Now, I may miss gems, right? I may miss, you know, hundreds, thousand dollars books. You can argue that all day long. And I would sit here and say, I'm guilty. But my business model is not the old stuff, not the eBay realm. My business model is the Amazon realm. Now, sure, if something changes, then yeah, if I hop into eBay, sure, then antique books can play a part. But right now, dude, I'm not even looking them up. I'm not even, I don't know.
Same thing with the disc media, like if they don't got barcodes, you're not bothering.
No, I mean, if it's something, really a lot of the disc media is barcoded. The CDs do have those stupid BMG
Yeah.
labels that you can't scan. So, like, if it's an old school rock band that I know, but like my knowledge isn't, you know, great, but I know a little bit more about music than I do books. So, you could argue that. You could put $1,000 antique book on the shelf mixed in with all the UPC barcodes, and it could be like a popular book. Like, I've got one, not I got
Time
one,
Machine.
Time Machine, or I forget the Atlas Shrugged. Like, I got that one before in a bulk pickup. But you could argue it could be sitting on the shelf, and I would just see Time Machine, it would be an old crappy book. Dude, I'm not even stopping. I am not even stopping. So, that business model exists for the people that have the knowledge and want to learn about books. Gentlemen and ladies like yourself, we have plenty of them in the group that are super passionate about books, and they would be able to walk in and they know exactly what that spine looks like, and it's the first thing they're going to grab. But for me, I have no idea. I'm just like, let me scan the barcodes, and I keep it moving. So it's different business models within each other. But yeah, dude, I'm passing it every single time.
Makes sense, makes sense. So, I mean, yeah, I think we just make our business refreshed every year. Like the new year rolls around. We're in 2025 now. So, and I think Mike does this. I do this myself. At the end of 20, the previous year, like in Q4, I'm like, okay, I've seen the results. I'm on track to produce similar results throughout the course of Q4. What do I want to do in 2025? How can I make my business better for me? Where again, I'm not drowning in a pit of despair and like I hate this. But I also need to keep what's working and drop what's not, and then add in some new things that should complement my business. Not all of them will. I'll find out as the year goes on. Some of them will, and they stay, and then just keep compounding those. I'm not going to call them experiments. I'm going to call them new actions to the routine and the regimen and the schedule and all of that. I at least try to add one major project a year, sometimes more, but I know myself, I can get tunnel vision on a single project, and that's all I want to do because the stuff over here is boring, repetitive, and monotonous, but this is necessary. This over here is extra credit. So this is going to be my extra credit project, and I can only have so many extra credit projects or the what's working over here is going to suffer more or less.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you're going to be doing two calls a month this year for our group, and like,
Yeah.
there's you got to pick and choose and be smart with the shots you take. But I will say, man, the ultimate trap is usually the fun stuff doesn't make you a lot of money, and the boring
Yeah,
stuff
that's
does.
true.
So like, you're like, man, do I want to go list on eBay or do I want to go sell a dollar book on Whatnot 10 times in 5 hours? Right, like, yeah, but I can talk to people and I get to do dances on live streams and do things like that. And you're like, that's way more fun than just going and listing my stuff on eBay. Like it's the ultimate trap in reselling. You're so antsy to get to that next thing because we all started and we all want to find the gold bars and we all want to, get the crazy time machine flips. And it's just that's not the reality of it. And I've realized that over the past year. And I mean, I wouldn't say it's turned me into a grump. It's turning me into a realist that I understand that sell through and everyday value items are how you grow a reselling business. It's not the crazy flips. Sure, they come about every once in a while, but it's not the gold bars. It's the stuff that you're going to be able to sell quickly and make a little chunk of money on, and you just keep finding that and compounding that. It's tough. It's a tough pill to swallow because we're so used to always seeing people at the bins finding $100,000 item that they paid 99 cents for.
Yeah, I think for you and me, it's more of what gets us really excited, other than finding a singular profitable book. That's kind of whatever to me now, even still. It's like, how do I get the best deal of the year for me? How do I score the biggest deal I can get? For and spend as little as money as I can and make a whole lot of money off when I once everything's said and done. That's what really excites me, is like, I love deals. I love the big scores. Now, that's not to say you can't have a whole lot of little scores that add up to a big score. That's a win too. But when I get that once a year deal or once every other year deal, that's a magical experience. But even that experience wanes over time, unfortunately. But I still excites me. I love a great grand slam deal. I do.
I agree. So we're going to wrap it up here. Remember, there's always going to be a new shiny business model out there waiting around the corner in the dark alley when you're walking to the gas station to get a soda in the middle of the night. Just don't even look, right? You hear, psst, psst, psst. Hey, Johnny, psst, psst. You just keep walking, right? You
Danger,
know,
danger.
yeah, you know that it's there. I just challenge you all to double down on what got you here to begin with and see your results flourish. And then we can kind of think about, all right, well, now we have the money I need to be making. What are some other passion projects I have? Maybe other passion businesses. Get a few streams of income coming in, and then you can kind of turn it in. Don't be the person that hops business to business. It's not going to work. I promise you, that's going to do it for this week's episode. We'll talk to you all next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.